that has never been written. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Just say this, the Lord needs it and will send it back in here immediately. They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, what are you doing untying the colt? They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, it was already late. He went out to Bethany with the 12. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Thanks, Miles. Well, good morning, everybody. Anybody that doesn't know me, there's a few unfamiliar faces around. My name's Julie. I'm one of the curates in the Avonside Missionaire, which means I come here and four other churches right down to Avonmouth. So you'll see me around if you've not met me before. Let's pray. Father God, we just invite you to come, to open up our hearts and our minds to receive what you want to say to us today. For some of us, this is a familiar story. For others of us, it may be new. Lord, would you speak through familiarity, through unfamiliarity, and touch our hearts today, Lord. Amen. Amen. The triumphal entry. I wonder where you see yourself in this story. If you've got your Bibles there, you might like to open up to Mark 11, verses 1 to 11, and just have a quick glance through. The story starts with Jesus telling them to go and find a donkey that's tied up. And then it leads them down a hill into Jerusalem with a crowd around them and the crowd shouting as he goes into Jerusalem. I wonder where you see yourself in that story. Are you part of the crowd pushing through to see if you can get a glimpse of Jesus? Are you one of the disciples? You've been with him the whole time. Maybe you're part of the crowd that's on the outside of Jerusalem, coming into Jerusalem. Or maybe you think you're the donkey. And we'll think about that later. Maybe if you saw yourself in the crowd and you pushed your way through, you suddenly caught Jesus' eye and he looked straight at you and you look straight back at him. And he stays looking at you for a few seconds. I wonder how you would feel. Excited? Giddy? Apprehensive? Nervous? Maybe all of those. So let's revisit this story and try to imagine what it must have been like to have been there on that most amazing day. This incredible event in history. Jesus so far, over the last 3 years, has been conducting his ministry around towns and villages in the Galilean area. But now the focus and direction are turned towards Jerusalem. At the beginning of his ministry, if he performed a miracle or a healing, he would tell people, shh, don't tell anyone, keep it to yourselves. He didn't want anyone to know because it wasn't the time. It wasn't his time. But now, after 3 years, the time has come. Jesus seems to go into automatic, knowing how the days and the hours will unfold, and revealing more and more what will happen to him. I wonder how the disciples were feeling. Were they celebrating with the crowd on the arrival into Jerusalem? We're not told, but if we look a few chapters before chapter 11, we will find Jesus talking to the disciples and telling them things that are going to happen. And they are not expecting this. Jesus says that the Son of Man must suffer much and be handed over to be crucified and killed, but on the third day he'll be raised from the dead. What a bombshell. They can't understand what he's talking about. Suffer? Die? What is he on about? Their world is completely rocked. They've been getting to know him really well over the last 3 years and feel confident, maybe, and happy in their relationship with him. And suddenly now, this is something very strange. It's as if the earth under their feet is starting to shift and it doesn't feel secure. Nothing feels safe. At that time, after he'd said that, he invited Peter, James, and John to come up to witness his transfiguration, this incredible phenomenon. Jesus' clothes glowing white, and then Elijah and Moses appearing, and God's voice in the cloud confirming his seal of approval over Jesus. "This is my son whom I love. Listen to him." Again, Jesus warns them, "Don't share this with anybody. This has to be kept quiet until I've risen again from the dead." They don't understand what he's talking about. So the disciples are in this quandary, this nervousness. What is about to happen? They know that Jesus is making his way to the city, to the center of their universe, as it were. What is going to happen? And you might ask yourself the question, why were the crowds celebrating so much when he arrived? Why was there this frenzied excitement? They'd seen Jesus around. They'd seen him heal people. They'd seen him perform miracles. But there was something else that changed the dynamic, that took it up a gear. And it's not written in Mark, it's in John's gospel. Because he brings Lazarus back to life. It's the last miracle before he enters into Jerusalem. And why is that so significant? Well, it's so significant because Lazarus has been dead for 3 days. When Jesus arrives, Martha says to him, "Oh, if you'd only been here. We called for you to come and you didn't come. And if you'd been here, he would have been okay. And now look at it, you know. But Lord, you know, you can do anything." And Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life." He reveals now that he has the power over death and hell, over life itself. And then he calls Lazarus out of the grave. Jewish people would be in a frenzy over this, because for them, no one is dead unless they've been dead for at least 3 days. They believed in their customs that the spirit of somebody hovered over the body for at least 2 days. So when Jesus comes on that third day and he raises Lazarus to life, that changes everything. Their scriptures, the Old Testament, they knew there was only one person that could raise someone from the dead, and that was God. And so in that one mighty act, Jesus reveals, I am God. I am the Messiah King that you have been expecting. Thank you. And so the frenzy is picking up. Not only that, it's Passover. So the crowds are coming from far and wide, descending on Jerusalem. So it's a very busy hub at that time in Jerusalem. The crowds are coming down to Bethany to meet Lazarus, to see if this is true. So the crowds are gathering around Jesus and the disciples. People have turned up early in Jerusalem because before the Passover feast, there's the ceremonial washing to be done. There's the buying of sacrifices. There's places to have to book to stay. And all the time, people are saying, have you heard about Lazarus? Have you heard about this? Jesus is just outside Jerusalem. Will he come? Is he going to come? They're excited. They know that God has prophesied that a Messiah King will come to Jerusalem, to their center, the temple, and establish his rule and reign. And they're excited. This is the one. Jesus is revealing his kingship to the nation of Israel, and they are over the moon. They are so excited. But not everyone is excited. Not everyone is happy. The chief priests and Pharisees are plotting and scheming against this Jesus of Nazareth. In John's Gospel 11, chapter 11, verse 57, they have given orders now that anyone who knew where Jesus was, they should let them know so they might arrest him. It was a dangerous time. Jesus had kept away from Jerusalem, but now he was facing it. People who knew where Jesus was would be in trouble if they didn't say, if it was found out. The atmosphere was like electric. The old religious order of the day felt threatened, were paranoid, and very much excluded by this upstart. And yet the crowds were totally and utterly taken with him. There is something so appealing about Jesus that no one else even gets a look in. Even now, when you talk to people about Jesus, people know there's something unique about him. There is nothing like Jesus, and yet there's something so unappealing about religion. Jesus, over those 3 years, have exposed the hypocrisy of the religious leaders. He was furious that those who were meant to be taking care of the well-being of God's people were excluding people, putting heavy burdens on their backs. And Jesus told them straight, you exclude others and yet you don't even qualify yourself into God's kingdom. You're all whitewashed on the outside and full of corruption on the inside. I see you. I see you. Jesus did not mince his words. No wonder the religious leaders hated him and wanted him killed. But we can't say all of the religious leaders, because we know that a lot of them actually recognized in Jesus that he was the Messiah. But it was dangerous for them to admit to that. So here we have this tense, threatening atmosphere in Jerusalem. but it's getting drowned out by the excitement that Jesus is going to arrive. You would think a royal procession would have a king on a white stallion, but not Jesus. Jesus reveals what godly kingship is all about. He shows that he follows in the footsteps of the kings that have gone before for Israel, riding on a donkey. An Old Testament prophecy from Zechariah 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, a foal of a donkey. The donkey represented the symbol of peace. Jesus arriving in peace. Against the symbol of the horse representing war. Hence the Romans' choice when Caesar arrives on his white stallion on the other side of the city. So at the beginning of this story, Jesus sends two of his disciples to get the donkey. And what to say if anyone asks, what are you doing? The donkey is all tied up, deliberately left tied up. At that time, the Romans would just walk around, and if they needed a donkey, they would just stop a farmer in his field, because there was a lot of farming around that land, and they would just take anybody's donkey and they wouldn't return it. And so between them, the villagers decided, if we just tie up one donkey and leave it there available for the Romans, then that we can at least get on with our farming. We won't be stopped in our day. So Jesus knew that a donkey would be there, but he also knew that no Roman would take it, or he would turn their mind to think of somewhere else. And it's at this time that Jesus actually announces that he is Lord, because he says to the disciples, if they ask you, what are you doing? Say, the Lord has need of it. He's never said that before. The disciples then put their cloaks over the donkey to sit on it. But you know, their cloaks were more than just an outer garment to keep warm or for fashion accessory. The cloak represented their identity and their security. And that act of placing those cloaks over the donkey was a sign that, yes, now they place their identity and security in Jesus, even if they didn't understand what else was going to happen. The crowds of followers were building around Jesus and the disciples as they made their way down the Mount of Olives into the Kidron Valley and in through the city's eastern gate. The cheer of the crowd is deafening. The choice of refrain is deliberate and well known. Psalm 118, Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna, or as the Hebrew says, Oshiana, which literally means please save. The crowds correctly saw the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies in Jesus. Particularly Psalm 24, open up ye gates, open up ye doors, that the King of glory may come in. They understood that. They thought he would establish his kingdom by overthrowing the Romans. They were so short-sighted, and setting them free so far from what would happen. Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey, a sign of peace and humility. But they still think he'll be a conquering king. The streets of Jerusalem, the royal city, are open to him. And like a king, he ascends to his palace. Not a temporal palace, but the spiritual palace that is the temple. Because his is a spiritual kingdom. He receives the worship and praise of the people because only he deserves it. Jesus was openly declaring to the people that he was their king and their Messiah that they had been waiting for. In a week's time, they would see what the Messiah king would sacrifice for them. Some would turn their backs on him, but he still accomplished what was required to set all humankind free. Jesus comes as a lowly servant on a donkey, not a prancing steed, not in royal robes, but on clothes of the poor and humble. Jesus Christ comes not to conquer by force as earthly kings, but by love, grace, mercy, and his own precious sacrifice of his life laid down for all of us. His is not a kingdom of armies and splendor, but of lowliness and servanthood. He conquers not nations, but hearts and minds, turning lives around, setting people free once and for all. His message is one of peace with God, not of temporal peace, but lasting peace. I said, where did you see yourself in the story? And we joked, did you see yourself as the donkey at the beginning? And maybe we are really the donkey, like the donkey all tied up. Jesus sees him and sees us before we see him, chooses us before we choose him, sends for us before we seek him, slowly unties the things that entangle us in our lives and sets us free. Voices still shout, what are you doing? But voices reply, the Lord has need of them. He still wants to make a triumphal entry into our lives. He still wants to make a triumphal entry into our countries, into our cities, into our churches, into our families and friends, into the places around our world where there is no peace, where there is only war. Will you be willing to be like the donkey and follow obediently? Maybe you feel it's too much to carry the Lord. But remember, Jesus said, all who come to me, my burden is easy. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. So we don't have to worry about carrying something heavy. Will we be willing to carry our Lord to the lives of others? It's not so bad to be a donkey. Jesus rode on one. And he's happy to ride his Holy Spirit on us to reach others with his good news so they too can be untied from the things that entangle them. Let's pray. Father God, we just want to thank you for sending Jesus.